Did you ever feel like what you learned in law school didn't prepare you for the world of running a law practice? Law school didn't teach us how to start our practices the right way so that we could scale them into a thriving business. We didn't learn how to make sure that our businesses would meet our financial goals and provide the type of lifestyle we deserve. After 10 years, I was fed up with struggling in my practice and decided to begin a journey to scaling a successful practice that would actually allow me to finally live the life I've always dreamed of. I invite you to listen in on the conversations I'm having with some of the most successful solo and small firm practitioners, along with leading business entrepreneurs, and share how I am implementing what I am learning, all with the goal of helping you take control of your practice and your life. This is The Law Entrepreneur. Listen up, law entrepreneurs. Don't forget to join us for our new Law Entrepreneur Book Club. That's right, we started a book club starting this January, and our first book is Tribe of Mentors. So go pick up Tribe of Mentors, Short Life Advice from the Best in the World, written by the well-known author Tim Ferriss. You can get the book wherever books are sold digitally or in a brick and mortar location. Yeah, get the book, read it, and then on the 1st of February, to be exact, we will do a stand-up book review on Facebook. So join us on Facebook. You can wander over to our Facebook page. Just search for Law Entrepreneur or be a part of our Facebook group. And within the group listings, look for Law Entrepreneur and join the group. That way you'll get notified when we do the Facebook Live event. All right. So we'll see you on the 1st of February with the book review for Tribe of Mentors. Welcome to episode 93 of The Law Entrepreneur. I'm Neil Tyree, your host, as usual. Today, my guest is Emily D. Baker. Emily's a really interesting lady out of California. She's a reformed litigator, having spent 10 years in the district attorney's office in L.A., but now she's a much sought-after speaker and online legal strategist, as well as a certified life hacking coach, a bulletproof life hacking coach. So kind of a wide range of skills there. But as you're going to hear, she's wickedly funny, as well as a very engaging personality, and has this interesting take on being able to redefine her role as an attorney and as a mom, to achieve that kind of really sought after lifestyle / work balance. And I'm particularly intrigued by her positioning herself as an online legal strategist. So I think it's a precursor of things to come in the legal community, if you ask me. But nobody really asked me, but I'm offering that as my opinion. So see what you think and listen to Emily D. Baker. Emily Baker, welcome to The Law Entrepreneur.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm really excited to be here.
Well, I'm pretty stoked that you are here. Tell our audience a little bit about yourself and how you came to be where you are today.
So, hey, everybody. I'm Emily Baker. I was a deputy district attorney in LA County for over 10 years. I went to law school to be a district attorney. I was one of those people in law school who was like, I'm going to take all of the criminal classes because I'm going to be a criminal prosecutor because it's amazing. I always call us the most badass of all of the lawyers. But after a series of health issues and then realizing that sometimes a political work environment is not always my preferred work situation. And then having two kids, I was like, I've got to find a way to have actual adult control over my life. And so after about 10 and a half years, I left the district attorney's office and started my own business. I wouldn't even call it a law firm because it's not. I call it like legalish life coaching because most of what I do is help people through the hand-wringing of it's all so unfair and why is this the way that it is, more so than doing a ton of like hardcore legal work. But getting people to wrap their mind around the way the system works tends to be the harder part for a lot of people, I've found. So I help clients through two very specific areas. I help online entrepreneurs start their business in a legal way with a proper foundation. I help them down the road if their copyright gets stolen on Facebook and help them walk through what those processes look like. So guided self-help, really. And then I help people going through that pre-divorce, what's going to happen, what do I need to do, how do I protect myself, so that when they get to their divorce attorney, they're not spending billable hours going, but that's not fair, and I don't want to have to divide up my child custody, and I don't want to divide up my assets. We get through all of that before they even get to their divorce attorney, so that when they get to their attorney, they can just hammer out the nuts and bolts of what they need to do. So yeah, through a couple kids, two back surgeries, and some other health issues, I landed in my own business. It's almost a year old, and I absolutely love it. I have full adult control over my life and my days, and it is amazing.
Oh, an interesting way to achieve that work-life balance. Now, I love the idea of a legalish life coach, you know, because you're exactly correct. I think a lot of times, half of the interaction between a client and their attorney is, you know, that soft kind of counseling almost, and particularly in life, and particularly in family law. Yes. And, you know, some attorneys do it well and embrace it. Some, you know, totally reject it. And some don't do it well at all. So I think you'd be a great resource, you know, for a lot of folks who could, you know, turn that part of the process over and get that kind of pre-framing.
Absolutely.
That will make the legal relationship so much more productive.
And that's what I found. And I really, I don't charge a typical billable for what I would charge a billable for, because I'm not filing your documents in court. I'm not taking on that attorney-client relationship. We go through all those disclosures, and I do actually have a life coaching certification, and I'm a member of, you know, the Life Coaching Association and all that. So I blended those two parts to really help people where they can afford it. Because once they get through that, especially in the divorce realm, once they get through working with me, whether that is a 90-minute strategy call, a 30-minute, what does this look like in the system call, and sometimes that's all they need, or a longer relationship with me, by the time they get to their divorce attorney, they're like, okay, this is what I'm flexible on. This is what I'm not flexible on. This is what I'd really like to see. Can you help me make that happen? But they've gotten through the, this is unfair. I can't believe this is happening to my life. Why is my spouse blowing up my entire life? We've gotten through and worked through all of that. So by the time they get to their lawyer in their jurisdiction, they feel really good about they've made the right decision and they're ready to move forward. And I found that to be a really powerful thing, because when you're interviewing attorneys and you're still in the emotion of it, it's really hard to pick maybe the attorney that's going to be right for you in your case, because you're still needing more of a therapist than a lawyer at that point. You need more of somebody who understands the legal process and can still hold your hand. And I found that with entrepreneurs starting a business too. I work mostly with moms, because I'm a mama too, and that's the people who find me and resonate with me. And they need that, they need both sides of the coin. They need the lawyer to say, no, you need to have a separate business bank account and this is how you do it. But they also need someone who's like, it is hard starting a business. You're doing the right thing for your kids. This is going to be a benefit down the road. And a lot of attorneys are so busy. And when you have a huge client caseload, that's not necessarily going to be where you need to be walking your clients through, you know, even though you might be setting up their LLC, walking them through all the other bits and pieces might not be the best use of your billable hours, but might not be the best use of your client's money either. So I really love the space. I love helping people with that. And it's worked really well. And I found that people resonate with it really well.
Now, did you have this kind of construct in mind right from the get-go, or did you kind of evolve into it?
I did not. This was not what I had thought it would be when I started. So my company is Ask a Lawyer Now, and I really had planned on gathering some of my other law mom friends who had left traditional practice and letting them just answer kind of one-off questions like, hey, I have an eviction notice that says I need to be out by midnight. Do I really need to be out by midnight? Yes. Yes, you do. So I thought we were going to answer those kind of one-off calls, and I still do that. But what I found is people would call and we would do a 15 or 30 minute call, but then there would be more follow-up and they would want more of that coaching side with the legal knowledge. And so it kind of evolved into what it is now. But I still answer, you know, if somebody has just a basic question, I get a lot of them through Facebook Messenger bots, which I love. And if your audience hasn't talked to Facebook Messenger bots for their law practice, we need to chat because it's amazing. But I use a lot of those one-off questions to either do Facebook Lives or to just sometimes just provide the service of answering, you know?
Yeah.
But I also get a lot of conspiracy theories and a, hey, can you settle this debate my friends and I are having? I'm like, look, that's not what I'm here for.
Yeah, maybe to some extent, as long as you're willing to pay for it.
Exactly.
But
exactly.
If you can ask Siri for free.
Exactly. It's like you can Google that. But yeah, it's I had anticipated my business just growing with those one-off calls, and that the need for more service and the opportunity to kind of expand into doing some online courses and some guides to let people really have that guided self-help is been really fantastic. And my community of entrepreneurs has really helped shape that. I don't know if anybody's business ends up being exactly what they thought it was going to be when they start, you know?
No, I think you're quite right. But I do think it's somewhat unique to the entrepreneurial and particularly the online space, in the sense that the market will tell you what you're looking for. You know, I think the ability to reconfigure your business or shape your business is somewhat uniquely geared towards the entrepreneurial and online space, because the audience or the client base will tell you what it is that they're really looking for, what it is that they need. And if you're adaptable enough, you can really kind of focus in on solving that client problem.
Oh, that's exactly right. And it's a really incredible thing to be able to just go to your people and say, hey, you're asking me for this. Is this what you need? And they will either say yes or no. And then it might shift, it might change, but my business has grown, God, over double since I started actually saying, okay, my model needs to be flexible and the services I provide need to be flexible and I need to expand. And when people keep saying, hey, can you just do a real quick course of how to walk through this or that? I'm like, yes, I can. Let's just do it. We'll throw it together and that'll be there for you guys. So it's really just listening to what people need and providing that resource. The hardest part was figuring out how to get started and making sure that I wasn't providing legal advice in a non-attorney client relationship way, and really walking that line between guiding people on how the process works and not providing legal services. And I do still have some legal services. They're not anything you would find on my website, because I've done years in court. I don't want to do that. Attorneys, I'm going to tell you a secret. Okay. Not all attorneys are nice to deal with. Right?
Yeah. Well,
not all attorneys are pleasant. And I found criminal attorneys way more pleasant than civil attorneys. Yeah. Holy moly. The civil attorneys are difficult.
I think part of that, just as we get off on that tangent, I think part of that is because as a district attorney, you're going to see the same defense attorneys over and over and over again, particularly, you know, from the public defender's office and what have you. So you can't afford to burn your bridges. You have to at least be civil, or you should at least be civil. So I think that is part of the part of the criminal law environment that is slightly different from civil law. So tell me little bit about then the types of entrepreneurs that are coming to you. You said that a lot of them were moms, starting their own businesses. What are some of the challenges that they face, and how might that relate to a solo practitioner who is opening their own law firm?
Absolutely. So I have helped people in all manners of business, from people who have physical products and hand make and ship physical products, to subscription box owners, to kind of these infopreneurs who teach people how to do other things online. And the biggest challenges I saw is people really don't know everything they need to have in place to start a business. What do you mean I need to have a county business license? Wait, my city might also require a business license, even if I work from home? Yes, your city might. you might not need to have an LLC, but you might need to be a sole proprietor with a DBA. You do need an EIN. People in the online space, especially in this time where you have a lot of people starting with kind of a network marketing or multi-level marketing company, and they start with that company and they're like, oh, I have a business, but that company doesn't require you to set up necessarily all the steps you would set up to start your own business. And they don't always tell you, you need to get a business license, even if you're in a network marketing company, and you should DBA yourself so you can get an EIN and funnel your money this way or that. And so people just throw up these online businesses and hope for the best without the proper foundation. And then they create, you know, you create your logo and your branding, and they're like, oh, I need to get it trademarked. Well, let's start with your copyright and make sure that's not being stolen and your name and your logo imagery is not being stolen. Because the internet's like the Wild West right now. People will just take anything off of Google and throw it up on their own website or their own Facebook group. And solopreneurs don't know that they can go on Facebook and contest that, and they don't know how to do it. And a lot of these things, the language is pretty thick to wade through what you're supposed to do and all the requirements. And I help people do that. But when you're starting your solo law firm, you need to have the systems in place to make sure that no balls get dropped. And this is something I had done for myself at the DA's office. You know, it was analog, but I had a whole like 2-page case checklist to make sure that nothing got missed. Because if you forget to turn over a piece of discovery in a criminal case, as a prosecutor, that's a really big problem. So I always had checklists of what I needed to do. But now there's these great online systems where you can manage all of your clients that aren't very expensive. So I think with lawyers, because I had this mindset too, you just want to come in and throw money at it. But you can start a lean overhead practice using the same principles that any online entrepreneur would use. You can use Acuity to do all your scheduling, and it's $5 or $10 a month for a basic Acuity count. And you don't even need, you don't need support staff if everybody's scheduling through an Acuity link or a Calendly link. And then you can let your clients schedule on their time and on your time. You can use free tools like Skype or Google Voice. You don't have to necessarily have somebody answering the phone. If there's a recording saying, leave a message, I'll get back to you within, you know, 20 minutes or 30 or an hour or two. You can use something like Dubsado, which is a great CRM tool. And you can put all of your clients into it and it walks them through. You can send proposals and contracts, and then all your emails are there. You can keep case notes there. You can link appearances and whatever you need to right in that tool. So you can open one tool on your computer, have all your cases and clients in front of you, and be able to access every email related to that person under that person's name. You don't have to go searching around for anything. Nothing gets lost. And that tool's maybe a couple $100 a year. I have a 20% off coupon if anybody's interested. But I love it so much because everything's in one place. And sure, coaches use it and online entrepreneurs use it to track clients, but lawyers can use the exact same thing to track their clients.
This episode of The Law Entrepreneur is sponsored by Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. Do you want to help more clients but don't have the resources? Do you feel overwhelmed by the amount of work to do that you can't even think about getting new clients? If this is you, I urge you to try out Daylight. Daylight is the Mac CRM that streamlines your practice and can save you hours of work each week. Daylight has helped thousands of small businesses, including my own, to manage more clients and cases without adding stress nor chaos. With Daylight, you don't need to fumble through files or notes to know where you are in a case. There's no more CCing your assistant on emails or passing around spreadsheets. Because Daylight now has a new team view that helps you see what everyone in your firm is working on. You can see everyone's appointments and tasks and easily schedule meetings for the entire team or a portion thereof. To learn how Daylight can help your firm, visit marketcircle.com/daylight. Be sure to let them know you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. That's Market Circle, the makers of Daylight. This episode is also brought to you by my friends at Spotlight Branding. I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to keep me top of mind with my referral network. Visit spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in the law entrepreneur. Spotlightbranding.com/TLE, brought to you by our friends at Spotlight Branding. You're largely, if not exclusively, virtual. You can run your business essentially from wherever you're at. Is that correct?
Absolutely. I live that laptop life. I work from home. I can work from my phone. I can handle anything that comes up in my business from my iPhone. And I created it that way because I want to be able to serve my clients, but I also want to be at the holiday parade that my kid's marching in, or at these random elementary schools have stuff at like 10:20 in the morning, which is not a time that works for anybody who has to be in court, because it doesn't make sense to go to court at 8:30 and then be like, oh, it's 9:40. I have to leave, drive back home, go to my kid's thing, and then come back. So now having the time to do that, if anything comes up in my business, I can handle it on my phone quickly. And I normally have my phone in my purse and I use my Apple Watch to see if anything comes up so I can be present. And that's what I built this for. I wanted to build my business around my life after doing it the other way for over 10 years. I mean, a life, you know, as a trial attorney, whether you're in civil or criminal, can take over your life. And after you say, sorry, honey, mommy's in trial so many times, you start to feel, or at least I started to feel terrible about it. And my husband owns his own dental practice. So it wasn't as if there was one place we could shift. And I'm saying, well, I've got to finish jury instructions, hon. So I can't leave yet because the jury instruction software is on the computers at work. So I can't leave work. And he's like, I'm in the middle of a root canal and I can't leave work. And I'm like, okay, someone has to leave work to pick up our children. So after so many of those conversations, me leaving
you made
work
that change,
was,
yeah.
I made that change.
I that's a dilemma that lots of folks have, you know, trying to achieve that balance between lifestyle and their work obligations. And it doesn't get any easier. That's for sure. It's always a challenge. Tell me a little bit then about where do you think this type of business has potential of going? Do you look into the future and crystal ball what this service that you offer folks on the fringes of the legal community, where that might go in the future?
I really think there's going to be, and there already is starting to be, a shift to these like a la carte services, right? So people are going to want a la carte legal more and more. You're not going to see your traditional retainer clients, I don't think. And sure, there's always going to be your big corporate clients, but the billable hour model where, you know, attorneys and their clients are kind of at odds, right? When you see people going, I have to meet my billables, but I can just send this email. But if it takes me an hour to send this email, then, you know, that's more billables than if it takes me 10 minutes. So it's the system has this built-in inefficiency, right? Because the lawyers
sure
get bonused off of the billables, but the clients get charged off of the billables. And I don't see people wanting to turn to lawyers first. I see people turning to, unfortunately, Google and other automated systems to provide that work. Where I don't necessarily love LegalZoom. It's great for some things, but I think somebody would rather find a lawyer that they could talk to about what business formation is right for them. I just don't think people have the perception that they can call up a lawyer and say, "Hey, can you help me with this?" and it not be $3,000. And I think as lawyers share, you know, in podcasts and on YouTube and in social media in a way that's authentic, I think you're going to start seeing clients go, yeah, I can pay you to do this good service for me, but there's also more of a service component for it. It's no longer that you can just hang up a shingle and because you're a lawyer, people are going to come through your door. People are looking for more than that and they want to know who they're doing business with. They want to like you. And I think that model is going to shift where people are looking for who they're working with and then for those a la carte services. It's hard to hire a lawyer.
Yeah,
I've had to hire lawyers and it's hard.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think we are in the midst of seeing that shift. More and more folks looking for particularized legal services, and maybe just a small part of the process. And that's why I know in our own jurisdiction here, we have now have the opportunity to do limited scope representation, where the client can retain the attorney for a finite job as opposed to the entire legal matter. So that, I think, is we're going to see more and more folks take advantage of that. And at the same time, we have a client base that's becoming more and more independent and, you know, thinking along the lines of do-it-yourself, you know, legal work. So it's a challenge to try and continue to grow businesses in that type of environment.
Absolutely. And I think for people coming out of law school, you're just seeing that they're the law jobs. I graduated in 2006, right before there were a lot of hiring freezes in Los Angeles. But you saw people then coming out of law school, and they got the traditional kind of firm track or government track job, where you get hired full time and you had summered there, and then you move up through the ranks towards partnership or not. And now you're seeing people come out and mostly get contract work if they get that. So they're 6 months here and 8 months there or less. And so it's either start your own business or maybe get a full-time offer, but it's not what it used to be. It's not you're getting out of law school and you're going to get a six-figure salary and benefits and a pension and whatever. That's not the way it looks to be a lawyer nowadays. And I think you've got a lot of people spending a lot of money to still become lawyers, but the environment has changed. And I don't know, has anyone told the law students this? Are they aware?
You know, it's interesting because I just read an article that said that more and more law schools are abandoning the LSAT as a, an entry-level test, and instead going with the GRE or, in some cases, no standardized test. And I think the law schools are taking more and more students in.
Right.
And there's fewer and fewer jobs. So it is a dilemma. It really is. And that's part of the reason why I started this podcast, because a lot of students are going to find themselves trying to start a business, a practice, without the fundamental understanding of how to go about it. So
absolutely.
Along those lines, let's talk about then how, you know, the Emily Baker empire. How do you go about attracting your clients? You said you kind of hooked in with the moms groups and that kind of thing. So how do you market your services?
So I don't do a ton of marketing. I found tribes that supported me. So when I left the district attorney's office, the DA's office is a family. It is a very tight-knit tribe, and you can throw law enforcement in there with it, because you're going through the same things day in and day out, and being on the outside of that tribe can be challenging. And I lost a lot of my tribe when I left the DA's office. You just aren't putting in the hours with people. You're not seeing people in the same way, and you're not sitting in the offices talking about cases and judges and you know, life and your kids while you're all at the office late. So I started looking for other tribes. And part of that was going through a Bulletproof Coach certification. So I found biohacking because I had adrenal fatigue, something I don't see in the civilian population all that much. But in the legal world, adrenal fatigue is a rampant issue. And for women, especially after kids, adrenal fatigue is much more common because your body's already been taxed. So I started researching how to heal myself from the adrenal fatigue and found Bulletproof. So funny enough, as I was starting to heal my adrenal fatigue, I herniated my back trying to be healthy and work out. And as I was recovering from my second back surgery, the opportunity to become a certified Bulletproof coach came up. And I said, yes, I want to do that. I want to learn more about it. I've got a lot of downtime that I'm going to be off of work. So I might as well, if I'm stuck literally laying in bed, healing my back, I might as well do something for me, my brain, my body. And going through that process, I found kind of the Bulletproof tribe. And they're like, what do you do? I'm like, I don't know yet, but we're going to have to find something else. And then I started exploring other areas. I found kind of the Miracle Morning community with Hal Elrod and the Boss Mom community with Dana Malstaff, and started finding these other entrepreneurial communities. And a lot of my services are word of mouth. I have, you know, active social media profiles. I share what I do. I do. I love YouTube. I'm on YouTube a lot, and I share what I do on YouTube as well. And then kind of people find me organically. I do not run Facebook ads unless I'm doing something very specific. No, I don't run Instagram ads.
But that is marketing.
Yeah. True. It is. It's not traditional. I do free marketing.
Yeah. So, just as a complete aside, have you listened to the Cabral Concept podcast?
No.
You should try it. It's a daily podcast, okay. C-A-B-R-A-L, the Cabral Concept. He's a naturopathic doctor who has a very short podcast every morning about all things biohacking and health-wise. So you complete tangent there, but I think you'd love it.
No, I love it. I love biohacking. And I think lawyers are really suited because some of my bulletproof clients were definitely lawyers.
I had my bulletproof coffee this morning. Just in a couple of sentences, tell our audience what that means to be a bulletproof coach.
Yes, we're having this conversation and I'm just assuming everyone knows what bulletproof coffee is because it's amazing. So bulletproof, the company, the movement, the coffee that people call, some call cultish, but I love it. The coffee is really butter, brain octane oil, and clean coffee beans blended together for morning deliciousness. I also put protein powder in mine. I put a really clean collagen powder from Vital Proteins in it. But
bulletproof coffee.
In my bulletproof coffee. It's so good. And when you're healing from adrenal fatigue, especially for women, more protein in the morning is helpful. But the fat and the caffeine kind of keeps you going. I wish I had had bulletproof coffee earlier in my career because trial work is fueled on like junk food, caffeine, and sugar. And that did not work well for me.
That's not a good recipe.
I'm sure there are other trial lawyers out there that don't have like Cheetos and a Coke for lunch. But when I was new in my career, that was like from the vending machine in the Downey courthouse. That's what was happening in my world. And because I couldn't find the balance. It was all about the work. And I was just all in and didn't eat lunch. But bulletproof coffee is really the start of the bulletproof movement, which is I hate to call it modified paleo, and I hate to call it a diet because it's a kind of an eating philosophy, which sounds super douchey, but it's kind of an eating philosophy, balancing the appropriate amount of fat, protein, and vegetables for your body to reduce inflammation, which is something with stress and then the environment. People get inflamed, it causes a ton of problems, but the bulletproof diet is a roadmap that shows kind of foods that are low inflammation, medium inflammation, and high inflammation. And you can pick and choose there. And the diet has really helped along with work with a, functional med doc. But the coffee keeps me going. I will drink coffee in the morning when I get up with my kids. I'll eat lunch around 1 or 2 p.m. And then dinner, I'm not hungry. I'm not cranky. I'm focused. You know, you don't lose that brain focus throughout the day. So Bulletproof offered a coach certification program because Dave Asprey, the founder of Bulletproof, had priced out. He's the CEO of this now international corporation and was not doing one-on-one coaching. And when I went into Bulletproof coaching, I'm like, I'm going to learn more about this diet. But we did a lot of work in mindfulness, presence, awareness, kind of tapping into yourself, goal setting, and then diet and
stuff. And all of these things are important for, in particular, for attorneys, because as a vocation, there's a lot of stress and a lot of anxiety involved in the practice of law. So all these things are good. Emily, as we kind of wrap up here, tell our audience a little bit about how they can go about getting in contact with you or taking a look at the services you offer or just be a part of your tribe.
Awesome. So I am Emily D. Baker, ESQ, all over the internet. One, because somebody else had Emily D. Baker. How strange. Uh-huh. And two, I paid a lot for those letters. They are going on my name. And emilydbaker.com is my website. And you can find everything there. Ask a Lawyer Now is askalawyernow.info. And for lawyers who want to talk about this kind of legalish life coaching and how to bring that into their own practice, reach out and contact me and we can talk about it. Because one of the big things I learned was how to not allow other people's stress to become my stress, which was something I was not good at the DA's office. I took on my victim's sorrow and pain and drama and lived it like it was my own. And that will shorten your career, your life, and your patients very quickly. So learning how to be empathetic and compassionate without taking on other people's drama. I mean, especially if you work in like in family law,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
You're dealing with people's lives and emotions. I mean, in any law, you're dealing with somebody who's lost someone in a car accident. You're dealing with the civil side of it. You're taking on other people's pain and learning how to not bring that on as your own pain and still be empathetic is really important. And I had lost a little bit of that towards the end of my career when you find yourself with this horrible gallows humor and you're just like, oh, you know, people are awful. I hate everyone. I want to go home, hug my kids and live in a bubble. I've really gotten to be compassionate again. And that has been really, really nice to be compassionate without taking it on. And that's something definitely.
Well, that's a service I think that all attorneys could find use for. And so I hope that quite a few take us up on that offer. So, Emily, I want to thank you for being available to talk to us on The Law Entrepreneur. And I look forward to continuing to foster this relationship and come back another time. Would you?
Thank you. I absolutely would. We didn't even get to talk about Facebook Messenger bots.
That's
sure. another day.
Yeah, because I purposely steered away from it because once I go down the Facebook, you know, rabbit hole, I'm down there all day. So
same.
So yeah, let's get you back on and we'll definitely talk about Facebook bots.
Okay. Absolutely. Thank you so much.
Thanks ever so much, Emily. Once again, I'd like to thank our friends at Market Circle, the makers of Daylight and Spotlight Branding, for being sponsors of today's podcast. Market Circles, as the makers of Daylight, provide the tool that I use to manage my cases, my clients, my calendar, my to-dos, the emails, and they do so all in one app that stays with me on my Mac, my iPhone, and my iPad. I use Daylight on my own in a solo environment, but you can also use it in a team. You can use Daylight to track the status of cases and delegate tasks to one another on your team, and you can see everyone's schedule all without having to interrupt anyone. Daylight is one of the tools that I use to stay organized, and it increases my efficiency, and therefore it only stands to reason that it'll do the same for you and your team if you use it in a broader environment. So visit marketcircle.com/daylight to try Daylight free for 30 days. And be sure to let them know that you heard about Daylight through The Law Entrepreneur in order to get a 50% discount on your first monthly subscription. Also, our friends at Spotlight Branding, as always, have been very helpful in sponsoring this podcast. You know, I trust them to manage the internet presence for my law firm, and I recommend them to solo lawyers every chance I get. They built a great website for me, and they use video marketing, social media, email marketing, and more to help keep me top of mind with my referral network. So visit www.spotlightbranding.com to learn more. They're even offering a free gift for podcast listeners, which you can access at spotlightbranding.com/TLE, as in The Law Entrepreneur. So spotlightbranding.com/TLE to access your free gift. And as always, make sure that you visit our website, www.thelawentrepreneur.com, to see everything that's going on with the podcast and subscribe to our newsletter so that you can stay in the know and be the first on your block, so to speak, to gain insight into what's going on here. So once again, thanks for being here this time around. I appreciate your listenership. Hope to see you again next week on The Law Entrepreneur.